Are we ready for God's word this morning?
Yes.
I mean, I'm just going to give you something better than the two yeses or amens. All right, open your Bible with me to Mark chapter 1, please. Mark chapter 1, and just keep your finger there because it'll be a while before we get there. And we're going to continue our series on Into Me See. Into Me See. Why did I entitle this mini-series that way? Into Me See. Because that's really the best definition of intimacy. Intimacy. I'm not talking about physical intimacy. I'm not talking about emotional intimacy with another person. I'm talking about intimacy with God. And the first week we talked about, you know, becoming more intimate in our conversations with the Lord. And, you know, how many of y'all believe that we have a personal God that into us, He sees every aspect of our lives? He knows us in every possible way. And listen, this is the best part. He loves us just as we are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. What love. I mean, what love. You know, he might not be happy with some of our behaviors, but he knows that with time, sanctification will take its course. How many of y'all believe that sanctification is a process? And it's not a definite second act of grace that once we got saved, then the next act of grace is complete sanctification. People who believe that obviously don't see their sinfulness. Anyway, moving right along. And, you know, the heart cry of every person is, into me see. Into me see. Know me. See me. Understand me. Go beyond the surface. Go beyond the superficial. Go beyond my looks. That's, I think, one of the greatest hang-ups that women have with men is that men can be very superficial and they're all about just a woman's looks. Can I get a witness in the house? And these women want to be known. They want to be seen for who they are inside, not just what their mama gave them. That was supposed to be funny, people. somebody got it, just one person. And everybody else like, should I laugh? Huh? Maybe that's inappropriate. No, just laugh anyway. Make it appropriate by laughing, all right? Moving right along, okay? So we want to be seen. We want to be known. We want to be understood. But do you realize that our God wants to be seen as well? Our God wants to be known as well. Our God wants to be understood beyond all the frills and thrills, beyond all of His power and externals. He wants to be known intimately. Do we believe that the heart cry of God for every one of us is, into me, see. Into me, see. That is God's heart cry for every one of His children. Into me see. Don't just seek my hand, seek my face. You know, Psalms 103 verse 7 says very, very telling verse of scripture on the kind of relationship that Moses had with the Lord and the kind of relationship the Israelites had with the Lord. It says Moses knew the ways of God. Israel only knew the deeds of God. Pretty profound, isn't it? I want to know the ways of my God. I want to know the ways of my Jesus. I want to know what makes Him tick, what makes Him happy, what brings Him pleasure and satisfaction. And I want to live my life accordingly. I don't just want to get hung up with the miracles. I believe in miracles, but baby, that's not my be-all, end-all of serving Jesus. Is it yours? Come on, somebody. I'm preaching a little better than I'm getting some amens. I want to know Him. I love Paul's cry in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. My desire is to know Him in the power of His resurrection and in the fellowship of His sufferings. So it is the Lord's cry to every one of us and the Lord's call to every one of us to into Him see. Don't just become enamored with miracles. Those are great. But the Israelites saw all of those and they remained stubborn and disobedient to the Lord, right? Man, I'm just preaching along and I need to get back to my intent. But how many of y'all would say this is decent preaching? Okay, just about five of you. No, I'm kidding. No, that was a collective yes. Thank you very much. All right, now listen closely because I'm going to set this up to get to our Mark 1 passage, and that is God wants us to feast in Him. God wants us to feast on Him and in Him. What does that look like? Well, let me say it this way. We need to, how many of y'all believe that to feast on God, you need to carve time out and get away from distractions and get alone with God, however that looks for you in your daily life, come to a solitary place where you can commune with God, when you make efforts to see into Him. You have to come to a solitary place. All right, let's look at Mark chapter 1, please. Verse 35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he, Jesus, went out and departed to a what? Solitary place. Another version say deserted place. Another version says isolated place. And there he did what? And there he did that he prayed. How many of y'all know that prayer is in essence looking into Him? Into Him, see. That's really the nutshell of prayer. One of the reasons that I thank God for prayer is beyond the petition aspect of prayer, and that is I need to get my spiritual batteries recharged. Amen. How many of y'all know that just even on a daily basis that life can drain your spiritual batteries, like even your phone can drain the batteries just by existing in this world and seeing all that's going on in the culture? And I don't know about you, but I'm watching less and less news these days, and I don't care about what they have to say because my Jesus is still on the throne. Amen. Listen, if they want to act like chickens with their heads cut off, have at it, buddy. I'm a child of the King. Amen. And His kingdom is unshakable, and His kingdom is immovable. Amen. I'm standing on the rock. He is my rock. He is my fortress. He is my shield. Woo. Amen. So listen, we have to have a solitary place where we turn off distractions, where we just say no to all the things that could potentially lead our thoughts in all different directions when we're trying to focus on God. Amen? We have to be one-on-one with the Lord in a solitary place, and there has to be silence. Amen. He speaks. Let's look at it the way, you know, God told Elijah, I was not in the mountain, I'm not in the earthquake, I was not in the fire. I'm in the still, small voice. And to listen to that still, small voice, we got to tune everything else out, right? Psalm 41:10, or 46:10 rather, out of the Message Bible, I love this verse of Scripture. I'm just throwing it out there. We're not going to have time to turn to it, but out of the Message Bible, it reads, step out of the traffic. Take a long, loving look at me. I love that. Take a long, loving look at me. What's the Lord saying? Into me, see. Take a long, loving look at me above all else. No, it says, your Most High God above all else, above politics, above everything. Look it up. That's the way it reads. How many of y'all know that's a fitting word for us today, right now? Amen. Take a long, loving look at God above politics, above all else. Woo! But listen, we got to get into a solitary place, and that's how we feast on the Lord. Think of what Moses did. What would Moses do? He would go up to the mountains and he would spend time alone with the Lord. That's how he had that intimate communication with the Lord. He knew the Lord face to face because the Lord talked to Moses face to face like a friend. Don't we want that kind of relationship? Listen, that no matter what happens outside, yo baby, everybody else might be running like their chickens with their head cut off. Not me, because I know the Lord. And he knows me. And I am grounded and I am planted on his promises, and I am planted in his word, and I am unshakable, and I am immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Right? Come on, people. Stir me up. So listen, to feast on God, we have to get alone to a solitary place. That's what feasting on God is. But do you realize there's also feasting on self? Feasting on self is getting isolated away from God, and we begin to feast on our own stuff. Let's look at Adam and Eve. What happened when they fell and they realized they were naked? They ran behind what? A tree, right? Why did they run behind the tree?
Trying to hide.
To hide from God. Well, that makes sense. Okay, here we go. Here's a tree. I'll put it back, people. And Adam, and the Lord's calling out, Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? You know, Don Francisco, who remembers Don Francisco back in the 70s and 80s? Great musician. He had a song that went to the effect that the cry of the ages is, God's cry to people is, where are you? I love you. God searches us out, even in our own isolation, church family. And people isolate behind trees. Not literal trees, but how many of y'all know that there's booze that people hide behind to escape from God? How many of y'all know that people hide behind illicit affairs? You know, I heard about a great man of God, pastor of Hillsong, New York, Fal Morley, had a extramarital affair, had been doing it for I don't know how long, and was fired from Hillsong. And I pray for him. You know, I don't judge him. I pray for him because he needs to be restored. And I'm tired, church family, if I can take a little side trip. I'm tired of Christianity being the only army that shoots its own wounded. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, you who are spiritual, restore a fallen brother. Doesn't say do away with them. You know, you shoot yourself in the foot. Oh, give me your gun. I'm going to do away with you. You piddly sinner. Come on, somebody. I appreciate this preaching. I feel the anointing of preach this morning. Bless the Lord. You know, and sometimes we isolate and people feast on different things. People can feast on self-pity. People can feast on offense. Well, I'm not going back there because I got my feelings hurt. Well, I'm sure Jesus sits on the throne to make sure that your feelings are always coddled, you big fat baby. We need to call the wambulance. Amy Grant once had a song, you're just a fat little baby, wah, 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 want your bottle and it don't mean maybe. I mean, I like my Amy Grant rendition. Not bad, huh? I think even her husband might even dig it a little bit. Don't quit. Craig, you always keep me humble, Craig. You chop me down two notches every time, brother. Oh my God. Listen, so we want to feast on God, not feast on ourselves. Adam and Eve were feasting on themselves, on their guilt, on their fear. They had fear of God. They were afraid of punishment. You know, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, that fear has punishment with it. Talks about the fear of punishment. So why did Adam and Eve hide? Because they feared punishment from God. Was God out to punish them? No, God was out to give them hope. And he did by saying, I'm going to send a man born of a woman without any other man's seed involved, and he shall break Satan's back.
Amen.
Single-handedly, he'll break Satan's back. Back in the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 3, God already said, my son's coming into this world, and he's going to kick devil butt. And he's going to destroy sin. Right? But we feast on self-pity. We feast on a lot of, when we isolate from others, when we isolate, we're feasting on ourselves, church family. How many of y'all want to see the perfect example? I'll give you the perfect story. All right? Of when someone was feasting on God and the other person was feasting on themselves. Who remembers the parable of the prodigal son? Go with me to Luke 15, please. Good preaching, guys?
Yes.
Beyond teaching, good preaching?
Yes.
What? Always? That's good. Luke chapter 15, please. Parable of the prodigal son. I love this. So we're going to begin when the father arose, was out looking for the son in verse 20, Luke 15, verse 20. And he, the son, arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck. And this is the way the Greek word reads, the Greek language reads rather, and the father kissed him and 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 kissed him. How many of y'all know that the message of this parable is, I don't care what you've done, just come home. Isn't that the heart of God, church family? Boy, I get teary-eyed. I don't care what you've done, just come home. And he kissed him and kissed him and kissed him and kissed him. Verse 21, and the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. Notice, this was his prepackaged speech. Remember, he was practicing his speech on the way home, and the father interrupts him. Verse 22, but the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe. The what kind of robe?
Yes.
Put it on him. Put a ring on his hand. See, Cynthia, it's in the Bible. And sandals on his feet. How many of y'all know that, listen, no matter how much we failed, we never are disqualified from God's best. Look at the example. He sinned, he fell flat on his face. He, you know, when he asked for his father's inheritance, share of the father's inheritance, he was basically telling his father, I count you as dead. Because the son didn't get the inheritance till the father was dead. So when he asked before the appropriate time for his share of the inheritance, he was saying, Dad, I wish you were dead. And then he squanders all of his share of the inheritance, and then he grovels back. He doesn't want to be. You know what got him in trouble with his father? The first two words, he says, give me. But then when he was down, broke, busted, and how do they say it in New Orleans? Broke, flat, busted in New Orleans. The two words that got him out of trouble were, make me. Two words that got him in trouble, give me. And then he said to his father, make me as one of your servants. Wow. And the father said, he ignored it. He said, we're going to put the best robe on you, son. Out of the three, the father, the son, and the older son, who had the best robe? The father did. Grace just blows my mind. I'm like, Lord, you could have just made him just one of your servants, but you went over the top. All right, and now notice this. And then verse 23, and bring the fattened calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be what?
Merry.
Merry. Isn't that feasting? For this my son was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found. And they begin to be merry. They begin to have a feast. The son was feasting on his father's love. Is that right? He was feasting on his father's love. Verse 25, dum, dum, dum. But the older son was feasting in himself. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, and he heard music and dancing, so he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fattened calf." But the older son is feasting on himself. He's isolated. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, "Look," I'm going to read it the way the New International Version. "Look, all these years I have slaved for you." Isn't that the way it reads, Brother John Bob? Look. You can just hear it. "Look, all these years I have slaved for you, and you have not so much as even killed a little goat for me. And then this son of yours," not this brother of mine, "this son of yours goes out and squanders all your wealth on prostitutes." Can't you just hear it? The older son is feasting on himself, feeling sorry, feeling like he was nothing to the father. All right, so let's see what the father says to him. Oh, goodness. Verse 30, but as soon as this son of yours came who has devoured your livelihood with harlots," can't you just hear it? He's adding too much salsa on his tacos. "You killed the fattened calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should feast and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." See the difference? In one story, Jesus talked about feasting on the father's love and feasting on yourself. The older son isolated himself. Now, why do I say this, church family? Listen, to get close to God, we can't isolate and live off of our own self-pity, live off of anger, live off of a feeling of injustice. We can't live off of feeling like, what are they going to think about me from here on? Who cares? How many of y'all know that the closer we get to the Lord, we have to give up our reputation? Amen? We can't think about, listen, I got to be concerned about knowing Him and loving Him and looking into Him and not what others see in me, superficially, I might add. All right, how many of y'all were blessed with the teaching of the Word, the preaching of the Word this morning? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning, Lord. Thank you for this time together. Father, we receive your Word into our lives. Thank you, God. We want to feast on you. We want to carve out solitary time, Lord, to feast on you and not feast on ourselves and isolate, Lord, and rehearse our own woundedness, how we've been done wrong or dealt wrong, why we're mad at something, why we're mad at ourselves, why we're mad at you, Lord, why we're mad at other church people. Father, help us to go beyond that. Help us to step out of the traffic. Help us to take a long, loving look into you, the Most High God, above everything, above politics. In Jesus' name,